express the forgiveness formula 7 times 77 in its most primal factors. Is something missing? Ooh, I forgot. That's the point. This is Father Voskin. I'm a priest of the Armenian Church, connecting the dots between the spiritual, the emotional, the psychological, and everything in between. This is episode number 475 of The Next Step, and we're asking you to take it with us right now.
Hi, this is Susie from In His Shoes, welcoming you to our 10th year of broadcasting The Next Step. The Next Step is a step, a stride, moving us forward. Here, Father Voskin provides his unique and distinctive voice for Armenian Orthodoxy as providing an intelligent and practical answer to the challenges of life. Based on the solid principles of love, faith, and hope as expressed by Jesus Christ. During this 10th year of broadcasting, we here at epostle.net stay firm to our commitment to provide a medium for apostolic evangelism for an electronic and expanding universe. So turn up the volume and get ready to take the next step.
Forgive your enemies, but never forget their names. John Kennedy said that. Forgive your enemies. Well, we know who said that, right? Well, let's say it. Jesus said that. Forgive your enemies, but never forget their names. And that is actually what we're going to be talking about today, that forgetful part. Because we are concluding this section of study, of meditation, of deliberation on forgiveness. Of course, it's going to creep up in a lot of different areas, and we'll be talking about that in the coming weeks in different ways. But I do want to talk about a unique problem with forgiveness today, and that happens to be about the forgetfulness. Okay, we forgave, but can you forget? Anyway, before we do that, welcome. We had a beautiful, beautiful 7/7/17 event. As you know, back in 2007, we inaugurated this idea of having a forgiveness day, a day dedicated to the concept of forgiveness. And probably because we weren't around in 1977, I mean, we were, but, you know, I was in seminary doing all kinds of stuff, and podcasting hadn't been invented. In fact, internet was in its infancy stages and just being used within the military circles, government circles, right? There was no such thing as podcasting, as deliberate. Well, Father Voskin wasn't even around, right? He wasn't even ordained for us to have this next step and this epostle phenomena of being able to broadcast and have a worldwide audience. But the need to forgive has always been around, right? The need to forgive, and that's what we're talking about. But back in 1977, it would have been really neat if we had a 7-7, because then we could have done a 7-7-7-7, right? Could add 4 7s lined up in a row. And then we'd debate on whether to put the X sign, the multiplier, after the first 7 or the second 7, or maybe the third 7. 777 times 7. And we can have all kinds of fun with that. And we did. This year we had fun with that. And I mention this because it's not about just the day. We initiated the day because, you know, Jesus said, forgive 7 times 77. And we like the number 7. In fact, I'm just reading this book, actually listening to this book, by a lady named Jacqueline Leo about 7. It's really interesting, all the different ways 7 fits into our life. And I'll share that with you in future podcasts because it's very, very interesting. I'll put a link on today's show notes if you want to get an early read in there. But for our conversation, we put it together back in 2007 so that we can have this day where we focused in on the concept of forgiveness. How important is forgiveness? Well, it's actually so important that if you think about it, the world, geopolitics, your life, your family life, your self, is all contingent on this word forgiveness. Think about it for a moment. If we learn to forgive, just imagine where we would be. And that's why we're giving so much time to this, because the more I think about it, and today you're going to see that it's even beyond just an experiment in religious ideology. That's what I want to get across today. It is more than just some religious ideology, theological, or whatever you may want to ascribe to it. You're going to see that it's so important in life. I was just talking to my brother yesterday, and he had refereed a fight between his son and a friend, his son's friend. Refereed in the sense that his son had come up to him and he was beaten up, and I guess the two kids had gotten into it over something. There was some opportunity for parents to discuss with their children what had happened. But here's what was beautiful about this story. My brother pulled his son aside and said that, you know, everything that you said, your father, namely me, I understand and I believe you. Do you know that? And he answered, yes. He says, okay. He says, now, why don't you go and say you're sorry so that you could continue? So that you could continue being friends with him. Wow. And so he did. His son went over and he said he was sorry. And the two families, apparently they were on a camping trip together. And so now the families, you know, shook hands and the kids were buddies. And think about it. Well, September comes along. There's going to be school and the buddies are going to be together. And now there's no awkwardness because the forgiveness has been granted and now they've shaken and life goes on. And I thought to myself, isn't that the case that we have, right? Because there's this big, big question out there, right? Like, why should I forgive? I didn't do anything wrong. Well, you know you didn't do anything wrong. And more importantly, your father. Your Father in heaven, God knows what your heart is. And so you need to be reconciled with yourself, with God. And don't worry about whether they think it's your fault, somebody else's fault. Your Heavenly Father knows your heart. Are you okay with it? Just like my brother's son, it's exactly that same story. Do you know what you did was right? Yes, I do. Do you know that I believe what you did was right? Yes. Okay, now go ahead and say you're sorry. Ask for forgiveness. So you can move on. And you say, well, where's the justice? Well, think about it for a moment. Where is the justice in all this? What is the purpose of justice? The purpose of justice is to have a society where you can get along. You can be reconciled with one another. And that's where we're leaping from today, because here's the story. We did this section on forgiveness. We started over a month ago, preparing ourselves for the 7/7/17 event. On that day, on July 7th, a group of us, about 30 of us, took off for Catalina Island. We went to the island, and it's a beautiful place. Not much to do, but that's good too, right? You don't really want too much to do when you're having a meditative event, a retreat. We went there for a day and had a chance to be together. That was important. Secondly, we had an opportunity to share with one another, to talk with one another. Third, we were able to congregate inside of a church that was just basically given to us on the only ID that you need, that you're a Christian. And I would venture to say that it was even on a more fundamental idea, that we were spiritual beings, that we were people looking for an opportunity to meditate, to have a prayer. So this church in on Catalina Island, gave us their church. And I was aided by two wonderful men, Father Serope Alanjan, who's the parish priest over at Santa Clarita St. Sarkis Church. He came along with us. And Dr. Yervan Grigorian, a renowned therapist, who joined us. And he's actually quite prominent even on the internet. I'll make sure that there's a link on today's show notes. You may want to check out some of his YouTube specials, his YouTube channel. Very, very therapeutic. A therapist who is therapeutic. And you'll know what I mean when you listen to him. Very, very therapeutic. And I'm serious. Not all therapists are therapeutic. He is. Anyway, they were joining us. And inside of this church, we had an opportunity to talk, to share, kick around some ideas about forgiveness. And that in itself was an opportunity for us to grow spiritually. Now, in the second portion of today's show, I'm going to share with you some of these ideas. And they're based on some very basic principles. But before I go there, let me tell you this afternoon, this day in Catalina, why it was so special. Because we were able to break away from everything. We were able to get away and really focus in on something that was important. Now, during that, what was it, all of 10 hours that we were out there on the island, every moment about forgiveness? No. But we kept having these conversations. And that's where I think the value of these kind of retreats is important. Even when sitting around and having a drink, even when sipping coffee, even when you're watching the sunrise, the sunset, you're sitting there and the conversations were flowing in this direction. And for the last several weeks, we've been preparing for this getaway, for this day, this 7/7/17 event, and which we called the decennial event. In other words, every 10 years. And so now we're getting ready for 7/7/27. Well, tongue in cheek, right? Because to get ready to 7/7/27, yeah, you get ready for it by forgiving, by keeping it in the forefront of your life every single day. So over there on the island, we had a chance to discuss, to share, mostly listen, to pray. We prayed. And for the last several weeks, our Bible studies have been focused in on this concept of forgiveness. And you can check out the Bible studies. They're all on the Armadoxy channel on YouTube. The last several weeks, concluding with last Monday night's Eucharist, celebration of the Holy Eucharist. In other words, the Divine Liturgy. And it was beautiful because here we see that God's interaction with us through the Eucharist is one of forgiveness, is one of moving forward. Now, while we were discussing all this on the island, it was interesting because Dr. Grigorian made some very astute observations, namely that forgiveness is really hindered because of our ego. It's our ego that needs to be put away so that we can open the doors to forgiveness. How true, right? Ego is really the bottom line that prevents us from forgiving or asking for forgiveness, right? Number two, he talked about empathy, and he talked about in his shoes, that expression of in his shoes being that expression of empathy. That'd be you're empathetic. You care for others. You walk in the shoes of others. And then he went on to talk about sociopathology. And that I want to really get into in a different manner, and I will share that in future podcasts. It's not really within the framework of what we're talking about today. But that whole discussion of psychological, of ego, and I'm starting to understand in a unique way what we've been preaching about in Armadoxy, and I need to share this with you because it's part of the development of this beautiful understanding of Christ's message. Namely that our problems are not necessarily theological, not necessarily religious. We say that Jesus said 7 times 77, and so all of a sudden it gets thrown into this religious category. Well, because the person who uttered those words is the head of a religion. In other words, we identify Jesus Christ as the head of the Christian religion, Christian faith. What's the problem here? We can forgive, but what's our biggest question? No matter where we go, people ask about forgetting. And forgetting is not a theological issue. It's not a religious issue. It's psychological. Yes, sure, it's pastoral. But forgetting is always a part of the discussion of forgiving. It's hand in hand. And that forgetting part is what we have the biggest hang-ups with. And it occurred to me that let's take it purely as a physical phenomena. Okay? Let's go that direction, okay? What is forgetting? Well, it has to do with your memory. And you know that your brain has memory cells. Right? And we're seeing this as people are living longer. Those memory cells become weaker and weaker for a variety of reasons. And now this almost epidemic proportion, Alzheimer's, and it's coming about because people are living longer. The memory is going away. Okay, so now let's take this purely physical, right? If those memory cells were not active in your brain, could we forgive? Yeah. But what do we do? We create opportunities not to forget. I mean, this whole phenomena of picture taking. I mean, when Kodak first came out with cameras back in the 19th century and they were taking pictures, it was basically to preserve a moment of a memory. Early pictures of Abraham Lincoln, 1860s. Can you imagine that? There's a photo of him, so you know about what he looks like. Before that, you'd have to pose in front of somebody for hours, so that they can make a likeness of you. But now we have this idea of having a picture. And that picture now, they say, is worth 1,000 words. And so it became this phenomenon of cameras. And now, it's basically everywhere you go. You can't escape the memory. Think about that. Everyone has a camera in their pocket now. It's in your cell phone. And not only is it in your cell phone, but every picture you take is automatically uploaded to 100 different places, up on the cloud, into your memory, into your banks, and you have these images that you can't escape. You can't escape. And so we have problems. We have issues that take, let's take an accident on the freeway. You've got pictures and you've got videos recording it from all different angles, from different cars, from different perspectives. So this horrible, tragic event is now preserved. And you can see it over and over and over again. It's worth not only 1,000 words, it's with the multiplier of over and over and over again. And so that idea of forgetting is really impossible to avoid when it comes to your personal issues. Well, time forgets, right? Obviously, there's certain things that time forgets because there's just so much that can be recorded. So along with those photos, of course, there is this notion of history. And history is recorded. It used to be recorded by historians. Now think about it. We are recording every single bit of our lives. You don't need a historian. All you need is an account on a blog, on a Facebook, on a tweet, and or Instagram. Throw your picture out there and you've got 1,000 words out there. So we are recording history at exponential rates. I mean, in other words, what before would be an episode, now that episode is being repeated in many, many different versions and from many different perspectives. Okay? Something as simple as a fender bender on the freeway. the guy behind you recorded it on his dash cam. You might have had some kind of recording of it. There's a freeway monitor up there. There's another camera that's got it. So at least you have like three different perspectives of it that will not let you forget. You get where I'm going with this? In other words, if forgetting is a physical phenomena, perhaps forgiving is not working because the physical is there and one is an emotional. We can all forgive, but can we forget? Especially because we don't have the capacity to forget. At some point, yes, the brain cells wear out. At some point, whether it's because of Alzheimer's or because you finish out, life finishes out, those memories go away, right? But they are preserved in history. They are preserved with pictures. They are preserved with writings. They are preserved by the historians who today happen to be all of us. We are writing at an incredible amount of information. And all of that information is equally accessible and, unfortunately, is considered equally important. Pictures of you sitting on a ride at Disneyland with your children, or with a group of mommy and me parents playing with your children, is equally as important or finds equal weight on the internet, on social media, as, say, a story about nuclear proliferation and the threat of nuclear war caused by North Korea, for instance, okay? Obviously, one story has more readers, more followers, and therefore will be more weighty. But in an objective way, they're both taking up the same amount of space. And they're both vying for the same audience. They're looking for people to follow them. And we have conditioned ourselves to understand that these things can exist in harmony. When in the olden times, well, you'd open up your television or you'd open up your newspaper. You wouldn't see pictures of, your neighbor going to Disneyland or sitting on a ride. You'd see stories about North Korea for sure. And that's what came into your life. But now, hey, your neighbor's equally there. What I'm getting at is that these issues are now being thrown at us so that we cannot forget. When you think about the difficulties that we have in talking about forgiveness, it's not about Jesus's command. It's not about religion. It's not about theology. The difficulty of forgiveness is our ability to forget. We're not forgetting, nor do we want to, nor do we have an opportunity to forget. And in a way, that's going to be the destruction of forgiveness. And in a way, if you put connect the dots, that's the destruction of all of us. Because you know you need that forgiveness. We've established that forgiveness is important. But we haven't established the means by which you forget. Short of cracking your skull or, being demented or being susceptible to Alzheimer's, right? And if you understand it like that, then you understand that forgetting is really a physical phenomena. Am I clear with that? Forgiving is the emotional, the spiritual side of it. The forgetting is a physical phenomena because it exists in your memory. And collectively, it exists in our collective memory thanks to history, thanks to historians. Now, can we move beyond that? How can we find that forgiveness? We've come a long way, right? From where we were. I'm going to take a break right now. When we come back, we're going to look at some other people talking about forgiveness. I'm going to share with you some of the conversations that we had, some of the thoughts that we had during our 7717 retreat on 7 times 77. Forgiveness. Let's take a break right now. We're going to be listening to the song of the day. Enjoy. Hadash Manu Gner. And I don't have too much information about them, except that this song, of course, a Sayat Nova song, Amen Sazi, was produced on an album around the turn of the century, specifically 1700th anniversary of Armenian Christianity. So that would be about 2001, perhaps 2002, from what I gathered on the internet. Hope you enjoyed it. I really did. It has to do about Harash Manugned, means the miraculous children. And there's a new project that we're going to be working on. So I'm unveiling things as we speak. Yes, I'm waiting for a meeting next week, but hopefully we're going to have that information for you. March 2018. You're going to want to be here for that one. Okay, Harash Manugned is a prelude to that. I'm just going to throw that out. You think what you want, okay? Figure out what we're going to be doing. But I wanted to share that song with you today. It's a beautiful one. Upbeat gets us in the mood for stuff.
Sharp ears attuned in to the drones and chandra's warning, yeah. Mist blowing round some headlands somewhere in your memory. Everyone is from somewhere, even if you've never been there. So take a minute to remember the part of you that might be the old man calling me.
So we have defined that memory is really a physical attribute, right? And forgetting, part of the conversation of forgiveness, is part of the physical world. Is that right? Well, think about all we've discussed for the last several weeks. Think about last week's podcast. We got some response about that one, particularly moving, touching, was Letitia Aguirre's story. I had a chance this morning to listen to it one more time. I don't tire of that story. It is truly a testimonial to faith. It's also a testimonial to forgiveness and forgetting. No. There's no forgetting in that one, right? It's the emotional with the physical, the forgetting. You cannot forget. I mean, I was listening to this morning, and once again, I was brought to tears. And from the comments I got this past week, I know it did the same to all of you. What an incredibly touching story, okay? Is there forgetting in that one? No. Is there a forgetting of self, of ego? Oh, yes. Oh, yes. So you don't forget the story, but you do forget yourself to get to that point of forgiving. Forgiving, forgetting. That's the purpose of this conversation right now. It's not about forgetting the crime. It's about forgetting the self that gets in the way of forgiving. And hence you see that it is not really a religious experience as much as it is a psychological. Yeah, a pastoral one too. Think about Jesus' story. Jesus forgives from the cross. Forgives a crime, an unanswered crime, right? It's unanswered. It's capital punishment. It's premeditated. They decided they want to kill Jesus. It's premeditated murder. What happened to Jesus was a premeditated murder case. From the cross, egoless, Jesus looks down and says, "Father, forgive them. They don't know what they are doing." That's an important addendum to the forgive them comment. They don't know what they are doing. So he relieves them of the crime by saying the responsibility isn't on them. They don't know what they're doing. I mean, today in the judicial system, we have the same thing. We say guilty, reason of insanity, and then therefore they have different rules by that insanity. Basically, that person didn't know what he was doing. So the insane person, there's a whole separate set of rules for the insane person. Jesus wasn't saying the people were insane, but he relieved them by saying that they didn't know what they were doing. Interesting, right? Selfless, egoless from the cross. Now, does he forget? Well, the testament is us that 2,000 years later, we're still talking about it, right? So we really haven't forgotten. We haven't forgotten the story. We haven't forgotten the perpetrators. We haven't forgotten what's going on. You can't forget. Because forgetting is... it's a physical phenomena, right? Memory. And there are stories, just as I was saying earlier, there are stories which keep on reminding. Well, think about the Christian story. For 2,000 years, it's been repeated from oral tradition to written tradition to movies to songs. And we know what has happened at the cross. And we have a relative idea of what took place as far as forgiveness. And we have built upon that story. Our ideas, our human ideas of what forgiveness is all about. I want to get to some of these human ideas because what we did is, as we were in Catalina, we had this great lunch at a great place where they had peanuts too. Can I take a little sideline? This is a real interesting thing. Here in Pasadena, there's a place. I can't remember the name of this restaurant, but one of the things that you do at this restaurant is they put peanuts right on your table, and the whole tradition is that as you clean the peanuts, the skin, or the shell, excuse me, it's okay to toss the shells on the ground. And so when you walk into this restaurant, you see that peanut shells are all around the place. So you have no problem when you're sitting down, you see the peanuts right in front of you. You clean them and you toss the shells on the floor. Because as you walk in, that's what you see. Well, we went into Catalina and we went into this restaurant, which was one of the few places, if not maybe the only place, that could accommodate 30 of us at the same time. So we went into this place and we see a sign there that says, "Throw peanut shells on the floor." So now those of us who have been from Pasadena or have that kind of tradition, we know what it is. But if you can imagine that many people are unfamiliar with that story, and now you're walking into a restaurant where there's nothing on the floor. We're the first customers of the day, so it's all clean. So now who's going to toss the first peanut shell on the floor? And when a couple people from our group started to do this, oh, you should have seen the looks they got from the others, like, Oh, what village did you come from? Where did you pop up from that you don't have any manners to do this? So I finally just went ahead and I did it myself. And I said, see, the Deadite is doing it. The priest is doing it. And by the way, look at that sign over there that tells us to do that. Anyway, it was a funny moment for that moment. Unforgiving, we forgave it and moved on. And what I did is at that lunch, I passed out some quotes on forgiveness and asked people to use them for their meditation and perhaps if they wanted to share or talk about some of those. And this is what I'd like to do with you for the rest of today's show, is share these reflections on forgiveness and let you be the judge. Think about these in the context of what we've been talking about. Is it forgiveness? Is it forgetting? Is forgetting a natural part of forgiveness? Can they two exist together? Let's look at a few of these. Of course, this all begins with the ultimate quote, and let's read it once, okay? It says, Peter came and said to him, Lord, if another member of the church sins against me, how often should I forgive? As many as 7 times? And Jesus said, not 7 times, but I tell you 77 times. And as I shared with you last week, that's the New Revised Standard Version of a common quote that we've heard, not 7 times, but 70 times 7. And in other ancient texts, it goes 77 times 7 or 7 times 77. And we adapted it many years ago because it just looks good. 7 times 77, because the number isn't important. He could have easily said 8 times 8, right? He could have said 88 times. He could have said 3 times. It's not about the number as much as the command to forgive as your only means of survival in this world. Now think about that for a moment, okay? Because it's taking it from a theological, religious perspective. And just really, it's basically just a very esoteric way of looking at it. You know, it's independent of everything else. You want to survive. You need to forgive. So this is where our conversation begins, okay? And we're going to be looking at different people throughout the centuries, throughout the years, who've shared their idea on forgiveness. I'd like to start off with Mahatma Gandhi. Interesting personality because, no, he wasn't a Christian, but he was influenced by Jesus. Which makes another case that we have to talk about, and we have talked about, is can you believe, can you buy into Christianity without buying into Jesus? That's a whole difference. Set of circumstances that I think most of the world would like to do, probably does, quietly, right? But there's this fear about buying into Jesus. Anyway, I'd like to tell you that it's a whole different issue, but it's not. It really isn't. And as you're going to see when I read these, you're going to see what I'm talking about. Anyway, here's Gandhi. He says, the weak can never forgive. Forgiveness is the attribute of the strong. The weak can never forgive. Forgiveness is the attribute of the strong. Yes. Yes, in many, many ways, right? If not completely. And likewise, it takes strength to forget the self, to be selfless. Who are we describing here? The strongest of all strong. Think about the phrase when you say Almighty God. You're talking about a strength that we take in terms of physical strength, whereas it means so much more, doesn't it? In an Almighty God forgiving his creation. Next one is by Henry New One. Did I offer peace today? Did I bring a smile to someone's face? Did I say words of healing? Did I let go of my anger and resentment? Did I forgive? Did I love? These are the real questions. I must trust that the little bit of love that I sow now will bear many fruits here in this world and in the life to come. Henry Nguyen. Here's one from Lex Luger. Many times the decisions we make affect and hurt your closest friends and family the most. I have a lot of regrets in that regard, but God has forgiven me, which I am very thankful for. It has enabled me to forgive myself and move forward one day at a time. Now look how important that is, the forgiveness of God in the equation. A lot of times we talk about forgiveness with the omission of God, with the omission that we have been forgiven. And so I'd like you to start understanding that everything that we're doing here is a continuation and one is related to the other. A lot of times, and this is very true, I think of many, many pastors will feel this frustration. I will get people who will come to me and say, oh, this terrible thing happened to me and I can't forgive. How can I ever forgive? Because I can't forget. And you realize that they're looking for a formula. And we all do this, right? We're all looking for a formula. My printer is busted. You want to take it into a shop that'll say, oh, well, it's just this button over here. The spring broke loose on it. I'll put a new spring and the button, the copy button, will now work. Yeah. We expect the same out of our relationships, don't we? I got this book the other day by this guy named Deepak Chopra. I had heard about him and, in fact, probably thumbed through some of his books. But I looked at his books the other day rather closely, and I was just surprised at how naive, how primitive his words are. I mean, they did not resonate within me at all. It's just kind of a very awkward understanding, a workaround. Anyway, I don't want to make more. I know he's very, very popular, but perhaps it was just that one book that I looked at. But what I'm saying is we're looking for resolution without applying, without working at it. I mean, it's very true within the evangelical world when we talk about being born again, this idea that you are somehow born again at this magical moment when you accept Christ and repent of your sins, and now you are born again. And likewise in Orthodoxy or Catholicism, when they give this formula and they say, well, being born again, it is through the font of baptism. Okay, that's the formula, yes. That's where it begins. But there is a process that you go through. And that process is your life. It's not a test you're taking. It's a process. And you are born again. As you go through and you question, you interact with God. You walk with God. You talk with God. You listen to God. And there's this whole process that you go through. The same thing with life situations, with difficulties and forgiveness. It's a process. It's not like you're just going to turn on a button and everyone's forgiving you. It's not like you're going to just turn on another button and you're going to forgive someone else. It's a process of talking. But it begins with this selfless attitude to be able to say, yes, there is a problem there. And my only way to survival, yes, that's how plain it is. My only way to survival is to forgive. So that you can play with your friends afterwards. Remember the story at the beginning of today's show? The little boy needed to play with his friends. And so his father said, very wisely said, you need to go and say, I'm sorry. Even though you know that there are many dimensions to it, and it's not all your fault, somewhere along the way you have to say, I'm sorry, so you can move forward. So that the process of healing begins. Here's Bernard Metzler. When you forgive, you in no way change the past. But you sure do change the future. I like that one, right? You can't change the past. You can try. I guess science fiction will one day become science reality, right? As it most often does. Science fiction at one point said we will reach the moon. At one point we reached it and become science reality. So now we want to believe that we can change the past. And perhaps at some point we may be able to do this. I don't know. Metaphysically, there's a lot of discussion about it. In physical reality, can we go back to the past and change it? I know some movies have popularized that, and there's all these problems with time travel. But here's the basic reality that I can guarantee you. In your lifetime, my lifetime, we're not going to be able to time travel to a point where we could change the past. Okay? Do you accept that? So, the only thing you can do right now is make sure that the future is better. When you forgive, you in no way change the past, but you sure do change the future. In other words, forgetting is not part of this problem, because forgetting is part of the past. But you can change the future. How you're going to react with that reality. Now, by this time, you're probably saying to yourself, okay, Father Voskin, we're listening to you. You're talking about Armadoxy. And you're talking about these people. How are they reacting to the idea of forgiveness? Why aren't you quoting Bible? Where's the Bible in all this? Well, think about it. The Bible has already told you. The words of Jesus are very clear. Forgive. Forgive unceasingly. Forgive 7 times 77. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. By the same measure that I forgive others, I will be forgiven my sins. The story of the servant and the king. Remember, the king calls in the servant. This is actually in Scripture, Matthew 18, continuing right after the 777. Discussion. Jesus gives this parable. He talks about a king who forgives the debts of his servant, who comes to him and begs him to forgive. And when that servant goes out, another person walks up to him and says, forgive me my sins. And the servant has no compassion, has no empathy, doesn't want to walk in the shoes of others. And lacking that empathy, refuses to forgive this man. And so what happens? The king says, okay, you didn't forgive, now neither am I forgiving you. Jesus uses this parable to instruct about the nature of forgiveness. So when you say, where's the Bible? He said it already. So now how do we react to that? Dr. Yervant the other day said it so beautifully. He says, empathy is to be able to walk in the shoes of others. Think about this servant. He wanted empathy. He wanted forgiveness. And so the king put his shoes in the shoes of the other and said, okay, I will walk in your shoes. I will forgive you your sins. Dr. Yervant continued, he says, a person who has no empathy is considered to be a sociopath. The servant who refused to walk in the shoes of the other guy. And that's what he was. He was a sociopath. Problems there. Problems. You got to forgive. So when you say, why aren't you quoting Bible? The Bible is very clear about it. I'm telling you how people are reacting to that. The Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. says it this way. He says, we must develop and maintain the capacity to forgive. He who is devoid of the power to forgive is devoid of the power to love. Let me read that again. He who is devoid of the power to forgive is devoid of the power to love. If you can't forgive, you can't love. There is some good in the worst of us, and some evil in the best of us. When we discover this, we are less prone to hate our enemies. Can't add to that, right? Gilbert K. Chesterton. To love means loving the unlovable. That's the premise. To love means loving the unlovable. To forgive means pardoning the unpardonable. Faith means believing the unbelievable. Hope means hoping when everything seems hopeless. They all fit into each other, don't they, right? I can have peace of mind only when I forgive rather than judge, says Gerald Jampolsky. There's, of course, some people who had fun with this, too, with forgiveness. And perhaps in that humor, we understand a different side of human nature, right? I shared with you John Kennedy's statement. Forgive your enemies, but never forget their names. Along the same line, another politician, Hillary Clinton. In the Bible, it says, they asked Jesus how many times you should forgive, and he said, 70 times 7. Well, I want you all to know that I'm keeping a chart. Coming to the poets, Robert Frost, forgive me my nonsense as I also forgive the nonsense of those that think they talk sense. Good one, huh? But Maya Angelou says it so beautifully. It's one of the greatest gifts you can give yourself, to forgive. It's a gift you're giving yourself. You will go out there and you will spend and you will give yourself these great gifts, massages, these pedicures, manicures. You'll pamper yourself. The greatest gift you can give is to forgive. We had quite a bit to chew. William Blake says, it is easier to forgive an enemy than forgive a friend. Oh, so true. Perhaps because the wounds are bigger. They hurt more, don't they? Anyway, let me bring this to an end by making some of the most fundamental bottom line confessions about forgiveness. Comes from Marianne Williamson. Forgiveness is not always easy. At times, it feels more painful than the wound we suffered to forgive the one who inflicted it. And yet, there is no peace without forgiveness. Lewis Smead says, to forgive is to set a prisoner free and discover that the prisoner was you. Alexander Pope, to err is human, to forgive divine. We've heard it, we've said it, but how true? To err is human, to forgive is divine. We started off this entire discussion talking about forgiving and forgetting, about the problems in forgetting, probably easier to forgive than to forget. And so I end with this one for you. It comes from a gentleman named Thomas Szasz. The stupid neither forgive nor forget. The naive forgive and forget. The wise forgive, but do not forget. I leave it with that, okay? You have a nice cross sample of different people talking about this idea of forgiving, forgetting, at the end, it's based on a very simple premise. You must always forgive. 7 times 77. Here is Susie, who never forgets to tell us this.
Susie here again. Before continuing with today's broadcast, I'd like to take this opportunity to remind you that this podcast is made possible through your prayers and generous donations. We are now in the 10th year of producing shows, which are heard around 6 continents. Since 2008, we have been providing quality programming through podcasts, educational videos, and streams, using technology's most current resources. The message of Armenian Orthodoxy, or as Father Vazgen calls it, Armadoxy, is giving people an intelligent and practical answer to many of life's difficulties, including the challenge to bring peace to a hurting world. To become part of this dynamic ministry, please take a moment now to visit inhisshoes.org website and press on the donate button. Your encouragement goes a long way. Please accept our heartfelt appreciation. Thanks for listening, and God bless. We now return to this week's Next Step with Father Vazgen.
Thank you, Susie, for that reminder, and thank you to all of you for sharing so much of yourself with us. You're in our prayers always, as I know we are in your prayers. Thank you very much for being a part of this ministry. We have a lot that's going on. Want to set a couple dates for you. Mark it on your calendar. This weekend, I'm going to be in St. Paul, Minnesota, and some exciting things, some exciting work that we're doing with bringing hearing to a deaf community. I should be at the St. Sahag Church on Sunday morning. Want to put on your calendar this year, great blessing. We're going to be in Yetem, California, one of the oldest Armenian communities in California, if not in the United States. We'll be celebrating the liturgy and blessing of grapes. That's August 13th. And then you're going to want to put down on your calendar September, early September. We're going to be walking for breast cancer to do away with this dreaded disease, part of Team In Her Shoes. And then September 24th. Put it on your calendar. We're going to have a little celebration at the St. James Armenian Church. And I'll tell you about that as we get closer. Now, the other one is not a definite date. It's either going to be the 25th of August, 26th, or 27th. We won't have a definite date, but you're not going to want to miss this one. Very, very important date. We're going to have a conference. And this one, I promise you, we will be able to broadcast. We will have a stream on this because I think it's so important that our communities throughout the world get involved in this. This will be about the refugee issue. Our Yvette Hovsepian Birce will have returned from Germany. Gabriel Starring, having returned from Africa, will be talking, will be sharing their comments, their insights on the refugee situation. And more importantly, we're going to give you some means by which you can get involved, you can become the activists in your country, in your community, about this serious problem of refugees throughout the world. So that's coming up end of August. Mark it on your calendars. That about does it for us here on The Next Step. I hope you enjoyed today's show as much as we enjoyed producing it. By no way do we say that forgiveness is a closed issue at this point. It has just been a nice little ride for these past few weeks, gearing up for 7717, and of course now we get ready for 7727. Decennial. Okay, every 10 years, we will come back to that, and I hope people will continue. Anyway, for the wonderful crew who put today's show together, I want to ask you to get involved with us at inhisshoes.org, epostle.net, as well as on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter and look for us on Instagram or just all over the place. For the wonderful crew, Susie, our producer, Ken, our engineer, this is Father Vazgen inviting you to join us again next week when we will take the next step.
And now here's the fine print.
The information and comments presented within this podcast and our website do not necessarily represent the views of the Armenian Church hierarchy, but are presented as a challenge to define the dynamics of Armenian Orthodoxy in all aspects of life. Listening to these shows is habit-forming. Addictive behavior associated with the next step is rarely, if ever, remedied. Rather, the next step is known to relieve and cure common cases of narrow-mindedness, prejudice, numbskulledness, and glaucoma in patients over the age of 20. Results may vary depending on credit rating. Findings are based on double-blind studies conducted in Istanbul and Jerusalem. Side effects include mind expansion, clarity of focus, higher rates of heart palpitations, sensitivity to the pain of others, and occasional nausea. The management and production crew of vpostle.net take full responsibility for changes you will experience. Not valid with any other offer.
Off, but I'm top limit.